Happy Sabbath, Church. Our scripture reading for today is found in Genesis 3, verses 4 to 8. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the tree of the garden. Amen. Amen.
For you this morning to worship you in your day, the day of rest, the day that you put aside since Genesis. I pray that we would bless your name, uplift it up, and that in return we might be blessed. Forgive our sins, give us your Holy Spirit. Let the word that will come out of my mouth be a blessing for every one of us. That we accept your admonition. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Please, I need you to be with me this morning as I'm going to be talking to you, as God will be talking to you through me. Everyone, please, take some time to hear every word, even when my accent is not as pleasant as yours. Take some time to hear. It's going to be important. Not the whole topic will be understood now, but down the road, God will allow you to understand it. And I think that Sister Ginger, Virginia, knows a lot about it. Many church members probably, or I think every church member knows these things. We just need to recall them, talk about them one more time. The title, I think you have the title in the bulletin, which is The Prevalence of Eve's Covetousness. What it can do to us still today. It is interesting to notice that in the story of the fall of our first mother, Eve, is found one of the Ten Commandments, written by God's finger and given to Moses on Sinai. That commandment had already been violated in heaven before being repeated on the earth. Lucifer coveted Jesus' position on the throne of the universe and wanted to be like the Most High. Covetousness is a sin that can ruin anybody's life to death, eternal death. Remember that the wages of sin is death, according to Paul in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Going back to Eve's fall, let's analyze. I want you to please read with me from Genesis chapter 3, verses 4, 5, and we will see how far we can get in that verse. Genesis chapter 3, verses 4, 5 for now. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. Why that question? Why did the devil say to Eve that she would not surely die. Because God said to Adam and Eve, they can eat of every tree that was where in the garden, but there was just one. They were not allowed to eat. If they eat of it, they would die. Satan says, no. If you eat of it, you will not die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. But let me inform you that knowing good and evil, brothers and sisters, has never converted anyone into a god. If it were not so, Satan and his angels would have been gods long ago. Well, they are gods, given that they are worshipped all the time by human beings. In a very near future, when Sunday laws will be enacted, their glory will be to the highest level. What did the Lord ask Adam and Eve not to touch, neither to eat? The answer is the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. What is a fruit? A fruit is a food category. Great. However, what was the feeling that the suggestion of the serpent arising and Eve? There was a feeling. The answer is, and verse 6, the answer is, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. There's covetousness right here. She wanted to be like God. Covetousness. The same covetousness embedded in Satan's mind has been inoculated to Eve, to want to be like God, knowing good and evil, to be wise like God. But we just said it, disobeying God will never make someone like God. Disobeying God will never make someone wise. Let me ask you a very tricky question. Was the fruit food? Was the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil food? Was it food? One person says no. Was it food? Who said yes? Okay, one says no, the other one says no. Yes. Okay, let's see. Well, if I have good understanding, good context understanding, the fruit was not food. The fruit was not food. It doesn't mean that you cannot eat that fruit. I know that several people may not agree with me. Let me ask you another question. Did God create the fruit to eat? Yes or no? I'm talking about that tree. No. God did not create it to be eaten or to eat. I believe the answer is irrevocably no. By the way, if it was food, whom was it good food for? Whom was it food for? If it was food? Nobody. It was not food. Whom did God give it to eat? Nobody. That means it was not food. Additionally, this food was nowhere else in the garden and anywhere else on the earth. By the way, if God created this fruit as food, it would not be seen when Eve and Adam ate it. Likewise, our swine, horses, lobsters, food. Let me ask that question again. Lobsters, swine, horses, dogs, cats, are they food? Can you eat them? Yes. If you will. But they're not food. They're not food. Actually, they're not food at all. You will see it. It does not mean that you cannot eat them if you want to. However, God did not create them for consumption. Nevertheless, the consequences of eating them are the same. The wages of sin is death. Disobeying God in any area has always been sin. Notice that the fruit looked like food to Eve. She saw that the tree was good for food, but God did not say it was good for food like he said it for other fruits. Anyway, and anyhow, people eat anything every single day, even dogs, alligators, snakes, whatever you give them, except for woods, they would not eat wood because it's hard to eat. But they would eat it. As the temptation of the serpent was swung on Eve, the Bible defines covetousness right there. Covetousness is the perception of seeing something and the desire of having it. That's covetousness. Perception of seeing something and the desire of having it. This is my definition that I got from the Bible. The text says the woman saw that the tree was good for food. But prior to that moment, it was good. It was not good for food. God didn't say it. That's the bottom line. Furthermore, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. God did not create the fruit of knowledge of true and evil, good and evil, to be desired, to create in human being wisdom, or to make us like God. God didn't do that. There is no such magical formula to make us like God. On the contrary, I would say it has made them very unwise. One of the avenues of the soul that Satan constantly uses for our fall is our eyes. That's why we need to be careful with what we do with this our organ. It can be responsible for our fall as it did to Eve and Adam. Our current conditions are the long-term consequences of a wrong use of the eyes, covetousness. Let's take another case of covetousness. There were two twin brothers who were hunter and shepherd. Who were they? Jacob, I would say, Esau and Jacob. You know the story. Isaac's death was fast approaching, and he believed it was time to bless his favorite son, Esau, before he passes. One day that Esau came from hunting, he was hungry and tired. He found his brother Jacob preparing a good pottage. He asked him some to eat, but Jacob refused, except if he accepted to sell him what? His birthright. It seems that covetousness was embedded in Jacob's mind or heart for some time. But the case of Esau was more dangerous. Esau accepted to sell his birthright for what? Esau accepted to sell his birthright for what? For food. For porridge. Food. Do you know that many will lose their eternal life because of food? We will get to that point. And that's what brings us to that condition of misery, of suffering. Food. Manger in Creole. Nourriture in French. Comida in Spanish. Four languages. I don't know any other language. Let's read part of that story in Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25, verses 29 to 34. Genesis 25, verses 29 to 34. I believe that you have it already. And Jacob sowed porridge, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red porridge, for I am faint." Therefore was his name was called what? Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he swore unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and porridge of lentils. And he did eat and drank and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised what? His birthright. That's so good for him. But he will pay the consequences at the end of the day. Food. Was Esau really about to die? No. He was just greedy. He despised a compound spiritual blessing to the benefit of satisfying a temporary physiological feeling or need. The Bible said about Esau, "Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright." Hebrews 12, verse 16. We know that the profanes shall not inherit the kingdom. Third example of food temptation. But this time, food temptation will not prevail. That's the one we are compelled to imitate. Jesus in the wilderness of temptation, after 40 days and 40 nights fasting, he was faint as well. That long time of fast was not a joke. He did not eat nor drink. After that period of fast, the devil believed it was the right moment to overcome his mighty foe. He came to tempt Jesus with his fiercest snares or temptations. "If thou art the Son of God, make these stones bread." Who would not do it? After 40 days without eating, without drinking, even without sleeping, and there's some stones that look like just bread, would you not convert them into bread to eat? Jesus was not in the city to get food to eat. He was in the wilderness. Who would not do that? Maybe I think I would do it. I'm just being honest with you. But Jesus didn't do it. These stones look like bread. As I told you, it was easy for Jesus to fall in that trap, given also that he was faint because of hunger, thirst, and tiredness. Satan did not come to him in the form of an ugly being like portrayed in nowadays movies, shows, or magazines, etc. No, he came like a glorious angel. What betrayed the devil was the first word of his question. If you are the Son of God. And Jesus knew that he was the Son of God. By the word if, Jesus said, okay, you may be the devil. So if someone asks you to do something that is prohibited from the Bible, believe that somebody might have been sent by the devil to deceive you. Be careful. Let's move on. According to pen of inspiration, please listen to these words from here all the way to the finish line. The transgression of physical law is the transgression of God's law. Physical law, God's law, the same transgression. If you defile your body, you're disobeying God's law, physical law, natural law. It is the same as if you were disobeying the Ten Commandments. Any disobedience to God's law is a sin. Whatever natural law or physical law or moral law, it's the same thing. Our Creator is Jesus Christ. Actually, it's a Sister White talking. Our Creator is Jesus Christ. He's the author of our being. He has created the human structure. He is the author of the physical laws, as he is the author of the moral law. And the human being who is careless and reckless of the habits and practices that concern his physical life and health sins against God. Many who profess to love Jesus Christ do not show proper reverence and respect for him who gave his life to save them from eternal death. He is not reverenced or respected or recognized. This is shown by the injury done to the own bodies in violation of the laws of being of their being. Manuscript released, page 49, Council on Diet and Foods, page 43.3, paragraph 3. A continual transgression of nature's laws is a continual transgression of the law of God. Transgression is sin. The present weight of suffering and anguish, which we see everywhere, the present deformity, decrepitude, disease, and imbecility now flooding the world, make it, in comparison to what it might be and what God designed it should be, a Lazar house. And the present generation are feeble in mental, moral, and physical power. All this misery has accumulated from generation to generation because falling men will break the law of God. Sins of the great magnitude are committed through the indulgence of perverted appetite. Testimonies for the Church, page 430. The heart cannot possibly, listen to that, the heart cannot possibly maintain consecration to God while lustful appetite is indulged. A diseased body and disordered intellect, because of continual indulgence in hurtful lust, makes sanctification of the body and spirit impossible. Council on Diet and Food. December 10, 1871, Sister White says, I was again shown that the health reform, which is a physical law, is one branch of the great work which is to fit a people for the coming of the Lord. Let me read it over. I was again shown that the health reform is one branch of the great work which is to feed a people for the coming of the Lord. That means if we deny, if we do not pay attention, if we do not obey the natural law or physical law, we're not preparing ourselves for the second coming of Christ. It is as closely connected with the third angel's message as the hand is with the body. Testimony 3, page 161, 162. Men and women cannot violate natural law by indulging depraved appetite and lustful passions and not violate the law of God. Therefore, he has permitted the light of health reform that we preach all the time. Health reform, the way that we eat, the way that we drink, the way that we do every single thing in our lives. Therefore, he has permitted the light of health reform to shine upon us that we may see our sin in violating the laws which he has established in our being. Our gracious Heavenly Father sees the deplorable condition of men who, some knowingly, some people, some church members, whatever you say to them, will disobey the law anyway. They will not accept it. They will reject it. And they will even persecute those that preach the law, the natural law, or the physical law, or the health reform. They will combat it. They will fight it. Some church members, they will do it. Our gracious Heavenly Father sees the deplorable condition of men who some knowingly but many ignorantly are living in violation of the laws that he has established. And in love and pity to the race, he causes the light to shine upon health reform. He publishes his law, and the penalty that will follow the transgression of it, that all may learn and be careful to live in harmony with natural law. There will be consequences of not following natural law. Like it is for moral law. If you sin against one of the Ten Commandments, what will be the consequences? Eternal death. Likewise, people are kind of like freaked out. They don't want to say it. Food can prevent you from getting there. Like food has prevented Adam and Eve to live forever. You can be lost because of food. And I'm going to come up with one example of food that you should never put in your mouth. That can prevent you from going there. When I say there, I'm not talking about the ceiling. You know what I'm talking about? Heaven. Okay, he proclaims his law so distinctly and makes it so prominent that it is like a city set on a hill. All accountable beings like us can understand it if they will. Idiots will not be responsible. We're not idiots. We are all responsible. And God will hold us accountable. To make plain natural law, I'm reading, and urge the obedience of it is the work that accompanies the third angel's message to prepare a people for the coming of the Lord. She said, that was from Council on Diet and Foods. Adam and Eve fell through intemperate appetite. Some people, even when they're not hungry, they need to put something in their mouth anyway. This is what? Gluttony. Or gluttony. Gluttony. You're not hungry. You just ate. I'm just snacking. Yes, you're putting something in your stomach anyway. Snacking is a sin when it's not in a regular schedule of eating. And here in America, we can snack anytime we want. Sister Ginger said, okay, I used to be hungry, but not because I didn't have food. Well, I used to be hungry because I didn't have me. And I'm not. It's not a shame. It's a good thing to be hungry. Jesus used to be hungry. The creator of the world used to be hungry, not having food to eat. And I'm glad to be like Jesus Christ. But let me tell you something. Adam and Eve fell through intemperate appetite. Christ came and withstood the fiercest temptation of Satan. And in behalf of the race, overcame appetite, showing that men may overcome. As Adam fell through appetite and lost blissful Eden, the children of Adam made through Christ overcome appetite and through temperance in all things regain Eden. Now, the example. The effects of a flesh diet. What is a flesh diet? A diet that has what? That has what? Meat. Flesh. Poultry. Whatever comes from animal. The effect of a flesh diet may not be immediately realized, but this is no evidence that it is not harmful. Few can be made to believe that it is the meat they have eaten which has poisoned their blood and caused their suffering. Many die of diseases wholly due to meat eating. While the real cause is not suspected by themselves or by others. Same book, Child Guidance. It is not time. Is it not time? She's talking now. Is it not time that all should aim to dispense with flesh foods? How can those, listen to that, how can those who are seeking to become pure, refined, and holy, that they may have that they may have the companionship of heavenly angels, continue to use as food anything that has so harmful an effect on soul and body? How can they take the life of God's creatures that they may consume the flesh as a luxury? Sometimes when you eat meat, you feel like, hey, particularly in my country, when they eat meat, they feel like big people, big, rich. You're not rich if you eat poultry, if you eat pork or swine, if you eat whatever meat, you're not rich. You become poor and you will spend money on doctors because of what you've been eating for a long time. Let them rather return to the wholesome and delicious food given to men in the beginning. Don't sleep. If you sleep, you will not hear that. And if you don't hear it, maybe it will be the last time that you. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 to 20, and 20. You know it. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is what? The temple of whom? Of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? You're not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We cannot glorify God in our body eating flesh. It's totally impossible. One may not like what I said, but it's true. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16 and 17. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16 and 17. Flip the pages back. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defiles the temple of God, if you do what? If you do what? If you defile, how can someone defile his body? Eating the wrong food, drinking the wrong beverage. Yes, defile your body. If any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy. That means you may take that by eating whatever you want to eat, you will be saved. On the contrary, the Bible says, you have defiled your body, God will destroy you. Don't allow people to intimidate you when they ask you, oh, do you think that eating meat will prevent someone to get to heaven? Say yes. Say yes. If that person is mad, well, my sister, let me pray for you. My brother, let me pray for you. Eating meat can prevent you from going there. Not in the ceiling. I don't want to say too long, but we have so much to see. Let me see. That means I have 30. I preach 33 minutes already. Let me read some and then I sit down. But you need to hear these things. You need to hear these things. And stop doing certain things. Sometimes people do not eat flesh when they come to church because those who bring food to church in potluck do not bring meat. But in the houses, they do. Fortunately, I don't know anything about anybody, but when I was down in the South, I know that people used to do it, even though I didn't go to anybody's house. Don't do that, please. It is not good for your body. I have been instructed that flesh food has a tendency to animalize the nature, to make you like beast, animal. It's not me saying it. To rob men and women of that love and sympathy which they should feel for everyone, and to give the lower passions control over the higher powers of the being. If meat eating was ever helpful, it is not safe now. Food, flesh food is not what? Safe. Now, you would say, Jesus used to eat, yes, because it was safe. Now, it's totally a different scenario. If meat eating was ever helpful, it is not safe now. That means there was a time when it was helpful, like when Jesus ate fishes, when he ate flesh with Abraham. But now it is not so. I came up with these examples because I know that some people might say, what about when Jesus did eat flesh? Well, you already have the answer. Flesh was never the best food, but its use is now doubly objectionable since disease in animals is so rapidly increasing. Don't you see how many animals, like in the air fowls, or in the seas, fishes, or in the land, all kind of animals are being killed by, nobody knows why. Thousands upon thousands of these die every time. Why? The air is being polluted by who? By the devil. And we keep eating those animals that are already polluted. Our body is already polluted. Why should we put some more polluted thing in our body to make it worse? To defile our body for God to destroy us at the end of the day. Oh my God. Among those who are waiting for the coming of the Lord, meat eating will eventually be done away. Let me read it over. Among those who are waiting for the coming of the Lord, meat eating will eventually be done away. Flesh will cease to form a part of their diet. You know that there are two categories of people waiting for the second coming of the Lord. Two categories of people waiting for the second coming of the Lord. The first one is 5 foolish virgins. The other one is 5 wise virgins. So in those two categories, according to what Sister White says, one category will cease to eat meat. I just read it. Among those who are waiting for the coming of the Lord, meat eating will eventually be done away. Flesh will cease to form a part of their diet. We should ever keep this end in view and endeavor to work steadily toward it. I cannot think that in the practice of flesh eating, we are in harmony with the light which God has been pleased to give us. Let me read two verses and then finish. I don't want to make you tired, but we have much more to see. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 29. We will see, before the fall, God has not given to humankind flesh food. Even after the fall, God didn't give them any flesh food to eat, even to the animals. Even to the animals, God did not give flesh food. Genesis 1, verse 29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. If you want to eat meat or flesh, get what? If you want to eat flesh food, what God has proposed to us to eat instead? Herbs. Now, let me read it. Every herb-bearing seed, every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. Nuts, almonds, peanuts. What next? Whatever nuts, you know. That's the first one. Second one, verse 9, chapter 2. Verse 9, chapter 2. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Not the same thing. In the first example that we've got at the beginning, it was Eve that says it was good for food, but God didn't declare it to be good for food. Now God says it is good for food, not the same thing. And good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If we compare these verses, this verse with Genesis 3, verse 6, we will see that the first time it was Eve, as I said earlier, that had decided that the food was good for food. And that in Genesis 2, verse 9, it was God that said, eat for different kind of trees. Down, chapter 3, verse 17, chapter 3, verse 17, and unto Adam he said, after the fall, even after sin, the first sin, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Verse 18, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat what? Flesh? No. Thou shalt eat the herb of the field, even after sin. Now let me say something to finish. Paul says, come up with one verse, one text, that we need not to forget. He said in Philippians 3, verses 18 and 19, for many walk, of whom I told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is perdition, whose God is what? The belly. Some people will forfeit their eternal life for their belly. They need food. 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 Give me food. Whatever food. Give me swine. Give me flesh. Don't let us not forfeit our eternal life. Let us not take our belly for God. Our belly should be our belly, not God. Let us serve the Lord and obey him. Who want to keep their body holy and not desecrate it with unclean foods? Anybody? Let me ask that question again. Who want to keep their body holy and not desecrate it with unclean food? All right, thank you. Another question. Who wants to be translated with Jesus when he comes the second time? Thank you. Who wants to stop eating flesh food? Who wants to stop eating flesh food? Not so many. All right, we're going to stand up. I'm going to pray for you. Yeah, some people do not use it already. Like you, many people raise their hands. That was good. And praise the Lord for that. Let us pray. I'm going to pray for you. Because God has seen your commitment not to defile your body, not to eat flesh food, and to walk according to his will. God will bless you. Let us pray. Stand up, please, or if you can, kneel down as I'm going to pray for us, not for you, for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment of preaching a sweet message that many times people would not want to hear because they think doing according to their own lower passion is better than doing according to the higher powers of the mind, which is given unto them by Jesus to eventually become wise. I'm asking you to see the commitment taken, made by church members to stop defiling their bodies and to stop eating flesh food as you advise us. I'm praying that you would forgive any one of us who has transgressed your natural law as we have always done it for your moral law. Give us wisdom, courage, strength to stop doing what is wrong so that when Jesus comes, as our body will be transformed, we can welcome him, behold him in his beauty, and uplifted, and that your angels can take us to heaven where we will live with them and with Jesus forever and ever. Forgive our sins, bless your church. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen.